us. In Acts chapter 27, Acts chapter 27, verses 20 through 26. Acts 27, verses 20 through 26, and then verses 33 through 38. Y'all act like y'all done looked at my sermon for next week. I think y'all done peeked my whole card or something here. Listen, this word says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. 26th verse says, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Verse 33, and while the days were coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from your head on any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 216 souls, 376 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. I want to finish my thoughts now on a prisoner's pep talk. A prisoner's pep talk. I just assume y'all know what a pep rally is. In the high school that I grew up in, when we had a big football game, it was not strange for us to have pep rallies. Cheerleaders would come, drill team would come, guys would wear their football jerseys, and we would just holler and scream, and we would be so excited. If we could play the game on pep rally day, we would have won all of the games based on our level of excitement. When I read this text, I found it interesting that the pep leader, the hype person, if you will, the person that was trying to get everybody to cheer up, was not the captain nor the crew, but it was the prisoner by the name of Paul. How many of y'all know God can turn things around? On last week, we said that we introduced our thesis. We should be mindful of bad situations, listening for God and obeying God. I said under bad situations, sometimes we go through stuff because we've made bad decisions. Somebody say amen. And then sometimes we go through stuff because we've been overruled, we've been outnumbered, but because we are a part of the team, we suffer with the team. Somebody say amen. When the family suffers, everybody in the family suffers. When the church suffers, everybody in the church suffers. When the team loses, everybody on the team loses, because we're in this thing together. We moved on to talk about listening for God, and we were thankful that no matter how vicious the storm, God is still speaking. The question for us is, are we still listening? If we're not careful, fear can clog our ears. Being distracted by people can clog our ears. Being bitter or disappointed with God can clog our ears. And surely apathy can clog our ears. But if we could ever hear God, we may experience what Paul experienced here, a reassurance that we belong to God. We don't belong to the captain. We don't belong to the storm. We belong to a God who's working things out for his own. If we can hear him, we will be reminded that we serve God. As servants, we ought to have a low expectation of accommodations. Servants don't stay in suites. Servants stay wherever they can fit in. But we trust that serving the Lord will pay off. Finally, if we can hear God, we will be reminded that we can believe, trust, put our confidence in God. When the things of this world have failed us, we have a God who still has all power in his hand. Now this week, we close up our thoughts by saying that we should live by the four lessons from obeying God. What are we talking about today? We should live by the four lessons from obeying God. Y'all ready for the first lesson? It is remember that God is still working his plan. What is lesson number one? Remember that God is still working his plan. Now, it is not in your plan to lose your boat or to be cast upon the island. If it was up to you, you would sail from point A to point B, and you would have no problems. But we're not talking about your plan. We're talking about God's plan. And sometimes in God's plan, we lose our boat, and we find ourselves cast upon an island that was not on our itinerary. That is, sometimes things go terribly, radically different than we planned. And if all we have going for us is our plan, we will lose our mind. I don't want you to lose your mind. To help you keep your mind, I'm telling you that God's plan is working even when your plan has fallen apart. But Reverend, my boat has been lost in the storm, and I didn't plan on coming to this island. God's plan is still at work. And sometimes the plan may include losing your boat. Things you were counting on, things that were dear to you. It may be your job, it may be your house, it may be your health, your strength, it may be a friend or a loved one. You thought they would be with you all the way along the journey, and here they are now gone. The preacher is telling you that these are just boats. You can still make it. God's plan is still in play, even though you have lost stuff that you thought would see you through. Sometimes we find ourselves in places we did not plan to attend, like the island. These people were not going to the island. They were on their way to Rome. But God's plan had an unscheduled stopover at the island. And that might be the situation in your life. When you find yourself all alone, when you find yourself wrestling with bouts of depression, anxiety, perhaps anger, when you find yourself on a job you can't stand, you don't have to go back to Tuesday, but already your stomach is in a knot, you just can't stand even thinking about going back to the job. you're in a terrible bed for bread relationship and you can't stand it, but you can't afford to leave. I said you're in a terrible bed for bread relationship, you can't stand it, but you can't afford to leave. Sometimes what can help you get through is to just see it as a temporary stay on an island. This is not my destination. It is simply a transfer point. No matter how bad things look in your life, what I'm trying to put into your spirit is that God is still working his plan. Now, if you need some help, if you need some people who've been through something to push this point a little bit harder, Daniel can tell you. Sometimes the plan includes a lion's den. The Hebrew boys would tell you that sometimes the plan includes a fiery furnace. Noah would tell you sometimes the plan includes 40 days and 40 nights of rain. But God has the last word. I got to move along, but God is still working his plan. Here's number two. Have more cheer than fear. That's number two. Have more cheer than fear. As I read the text, I was happy to see how many times the word cheer appears. Let's see, can we find them? In verse 22, it says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." Verse 24 says, "Fear not." Verse 25 says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." Verse 36 says, "Then were they all of good cheer." Look at how many times the text teaches us to be of good cheer instead of being in fear. Now, can I tell you this? Can I tell you this? If it were not for the Lord on our side, that is, if we were not on the Lord's side, actually, how fearful and frightening our times would be. If there was no God in our situation, if this was a godless world, if God's hands were tied behind his back or preoccupied in his pockets, if God was sleeping while we were trying to live, if we were in this thing all by ourselves, I would not be able to sleep at night. The economy is too frightening. The politicians that we have elected into office are too frightening for me. The violence and the crime of our community, they scare me too much. I could sit up and worry myself into an early grave, thinking about the worst case scenario of what could happen to my health. What would I do if those I love the most died early in my life? If people I lean on, trust in, depend on, if they somehow abandon me, betray me, I could worry myself into an early grave when God is not in the picture. But thanks be unto God, God is in the picture. He sits high, he looks low. God is still our ever-present help in the time of trouble. Now, it's up to you and it's up to me to figure out what will we focus on. You could focus on the storm. You could focus on how bad things look. Or you could focus on God's power. You could focus on God's love. You can learn, and it is a learning. We're not born understanding this. We can learn to be of good cheer. We can choose to smile instead of frown. We can focus our mind on how good God has been to us. We can focus on how good God is being to us. We can focus on how good God has promised to be to us. Haven't you discovered the more you feed your faith the more you starve your fears. You can focus on him instead of them. I said, you can choose to focus on him, God, instead of them, bills and pains and people who have disappointed you. Your heart has been broken. You can choose what you will focus on. And the text teaches us that we ought to have more cheer than fear. I got to move along. This is number three. Y'all still here? You better get on your bike and catch up. Number three, take care of yourself. I don't want to leave anybody. The first thing I said was remember that God is still working his plan. Number two was have more cheer than fear. Here's number three, take care of yourself. Verses 33 through 38, notice the concern with something as practical, something as basic as eating. How many of y'all know trouble can steal your appetite? I said trouble can steal your appetite. It is not strange when I go to the hospital and I see one of my members who've been by the bedside of a loved one who has serious medical challenges. It is not strange for me to inquire about when was the last time you ate? When was the last time you have been to sleep? These human bodies require a certain amount of physical nourishment. When you allow stress, storms, worry, trouble to steal your appetite, keep you from eating, you rob your body and your mind of the energy they need to obey the will of God. When you give the devil the satisfaction of stealing your appetite, it shows that fear is getting the better part of you. Did you hear me? Don't let the devil have you going around here talking about I'm just too stressed to eat. This body requires nourishment. Now, when we eat, make sure you eat as if you are feeding the temple of God. Eat as if you are feeding the temple of God. You ought not put the whole dozen of Krispy Kreme donuts in the temple of God. As old as we getting, we can't eat half the La Rosa pizza like we used to, and half a gallon of maple walnut ice cream and a whole package of cookies. Can't wash it down with brewski. Some of y'all look so disappointed. Your body has been purchased with a price. It does not belong to you. It is compared to the temple of God. When you do eat, you ought to feed the temple of God good stuff. Stormy weather can make you forget to say your prayers. But what I love about Paul is that as bad as things look, he became the chaplain of the ship and prayed for the food. It almost sounds like communion. Talks about that after he had broke the bread, he gave thanks to it. That almost sounds like our communion formula. But I'm here to tell you that no matter how bad things look in your life, you ought to take care of yourself. And some of taking care of yourself is to make sure you say your prayers. And part of your prayer ought to be, Lord, thank you that in spite of how bad things may appear, thank you that things are as well as they are. Somebody ought to help me here. Lord, thank you. If it's nothing but a Happy Meal, thank you for the Happy Meal. If it's nothing but a bag of Skittles, Lord, thank you for a bag of Skittles. Skittles. Lord, thank you. Thank you for bus fare. Lord, thank you for a piece of a job. Thank you that I got shoes and feet and legs that can walk me where I want to go. Do you know how many people cannot walk a city block? The Lord has blessed you. And then this caught my attention. After they had eaten all that they wanted, they threw the extra stuff overboard. Just look back over your life and see how much stuff you've thrown overboard. God has done so much more for us than supplied our needs. He has met so many of our wants. Think about shoes that have been thrown away, clothes that have been thrown away, food that spoiled in the refrigerator, in the cupboard, threw it overboard. You have so much to be thankful for. I rushed through that because I wanted to get to number four, and that is be an encourager. Firstly, I told you to remember that God is still working his plan. I told you to have more cheer than fear. Told you to take care of yourself. I'm looking for my exit now. Be an encourager. Did you see how Paul was in the storm, just like those who were not saved were in the storm? Paul's salvation did not keep him out of the storm. His apostolic calling did not prevent the rain from falling on his head, the wind from blowing in his life. The fact that he was on the short list of people who had planted churches and been used to pen New Testament scripture, none of the above prevented him from experiencing trouble in his life. And you should have figured out by now, no matter how saved you are, no matter how much you give, no matter how many times you come to church, trouble comes into your life and in mine. But what we can do different than others is we can be an encourager in the midst of stormy weather. While others allowed the storm to cause fear and despair in their life, while others cursed the storm and doubt our God, while others allowed the storm of the outside to become the storm of the inside, we who have been born again have been called to go through the storm differently. We go through the storm singing that I know the Lord will make a way somehow. We go through the same storm calling a dark and decaying world to trust a God who promised to take care of his own. I heard the Bible say, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I heard the Bible say, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. We go through the same storm. But instead of allowing the storm to get on the inside, we keep the storm on the outside. And one of the ways to keep the storm on the outside is to keep praise on the inside. Sister Brown yes, must have known what I would preach. That's why they sung so today, because they knew if they have enough praise on the inside, they won't have room for fear, for panic, for anxiety, for depression. Fill up on praise, so there's no room for fear. I gotta move, children. Resolve, make up your mind, reckon within yourself. I'm going through the storms of life with praise on my lips. I'm going through the storms of life, being a cheerleader from the Lord. I'm going through the storms of life, giving pep talks about how my God is able. I'm not gonna have pity parties about my storm. I'm gonna praise and pray my way through stormy weather. Now if by chance you take the sermon seriously, what a difference we could have in worship. Could you imagine if you came to church to pep me up, and I came to church to pep you up? Could you imagine if the people of God came in the sanctuary with praise already on their lips? What a time we could have in this place. I gotta leave y'all here, but I remind you, your praise is so important. The reason you ought to bring your amen with you, the reason you ought to bring your praise the Lord, the reason you ought to bring your raised hand and your sanctified rock, because you never know who's lost their boat. You never know who's been cast upon an island this ring, right up under our little church clothes, right up under our little church smile. All kinds of problems, troubles, and dismay. You never know how God will use your spirit of encouragement. And it really don't take much. You'd be surprised what a smiling face and a good morning will do. You'd be surprised what a shaking hand, a warm embrace will do. You'd be surprised what it would mean to those around you to see you engage in the worship. That's all. Bye-bye. I got to close. Thank you for blessing my heart. I know what you mean. I'm with you. After all I've been through, I've been through the water, came back through the fire. I've been in the flood, I've been in the windstorm, but after all, I've been through, I still got a praise inside of me. After all that I've been through, I still got a praise inside of me. Yes, I've been hurt. Yes, I've been disappointed. Yes, friends have turned in the time of need. Yes, people have written my obituary, said I'll never make it. But after all I've been through, I still have a praise inside of me. Anybody here got a praise inside of you? Praise is what I do when I want to feel close to the Lord. Sometimes I can't wait till Sunday. I can't wait to hear somebody sing my song. Sometimes I've got to praise them all by myself. Anybody here know how to praise them all by yourself? It's mighty nice to have a band. It's mighty nice to have a praise team. But there's been times in my life I did not have the luxury of tenor, soprano, alto, harmony. There's been times I had to sing solo all by myself. And what I love about my God is praise works both ways. Praise goes up, but then blessings come down. It's hard to praise and be depressed. It's hard to praise and be angry. It's hard to praise and be despondent. So I've made up my mind, if I gotta do it all by myself, I'm gonna praise him. Anybody here gonna praise my Lord? Anybody here know he's worthy? Ain't he all right? Yes. Yeah. I still gotta praise. I still gotta praise. I still gotta praise. Where's it at, Reverend? Inside of me. Where's it at? Inside of me. The world didn't give it. The world can't take it. It's inside of me.
You live beneath your privilege. If you leave here and let stormy weather get the better part of you, I can't promise you that the storm will be gone in the morning. But what I can promise you is if you let God have control of you, you can make it through this thing. I can't tell you about your circumstances, but I can tell you about you. If you give God free course in your life, God can get you through this thing. You don't have to go around here with a hung down head. Woe am I, having a pity party. You can have cheer instead of fear. God is still working his plan out for your life. You didn't see the lost boat. You didn't see you had to stop at this island, but God saw it. Trust God. He will see you through. Would you stand? The invitation is extended.